All right, kinds of rotation. There's two major types of rotation out there that I want you to know about. One's called orthogonal, the other's called oblique. Orthogonal is also sometimes known as rigid rotation. The idea is, however far we rotate the one, we rotate the other. And so there's always an orthogonal relationship between the factors in a solution. People who like orthogonal solutions, and there are fewer and fewer of them. When I was little, it was all about orthogonal solutions, and oblique solutions were somehow suspect because they almost worked too well, and that could be a problem. But people who like orthogonal solutions like them because they are more parsimonious and efficient. Those factors are orthogonal. They carry unique, independent information. More efficient. People that don't like orthogonal factors don't like them because they are less natural. If I told you that I had 8 measures of depression and 8 measures of anxiety, and when I was all done factoring, I had decided on 2 factors, one that had all the measures of the depression, the other that had all the measures of anxiety, you'd be cool. But if I then said, oh, and by the way, those two things are independent of each other and are uncorrelated, then you'd start looking at me funny. Because, especially if you work in that area, you don't have any experience that depression and anxiety are totally unrelated to each other. Okay? And that's the unnatural part. Oblique means the resulting factors are correlated, which means the angle between them is something other than 90. And I don't want to get into an argument of whether it's less than 90 if we look at the acute side and more than 90 if we look at the oblique side. They're not 90. There is now a relationship between the factors. People who like them because there probably are relationships between kinds of information. People who like them also like them because they often account for the variance better. Notice how we have speared this cluster of variables, but not this one, because we have to maintain that rigid rotation. And it always builds the first one, and then the others sort of fall into place. So we get a really good first factor, and the others actually can slop up a little bit. Whereas in the oblique rotation, we're now spearing each of these factors, which reduces multivocality, increases the strength and structure of the factors. The downside is it's now a little bit more complicated because we not only have to know what variables belong to what factors, but we have to pay attention to how those factors relate to each other. Okay, which I see as a good thing because kinds of information usually are related to each other. Major types of orthogonal rotation and their tendencies. Verimax. Let me back up. What you have to have heard to have a real feel for it takes reading for years. But factor analysis grew up and was engaged and developed during the first big series of arguments about what is intelligence. Okay? And every factor extraction and factor rotation technique was thought up by somebody as a way of demonstrating the accuracy of their freaking theory. Okay? And you can see that very quickly in the first two procedures that ever came out, Verimax and Quartermax. There were two basic groups of intelligence theorists, the one-factor theorists and the group-factor theorists. The one-factor theorist said, the really important part of all intelligence measures is general intelligence and then a little bit of specific stuff for each factor. What they really wanted was a one-factor solution. That's what they really wanted. Then there were the group-factor theorists who said intelligence breaks into kinds and we ought to be able to find sets of variables that hang together and represent a kind. Another set of variables that hang together represent another kind. So they're looking for group factors. So what do you think? Verimax, the default, simplifies factors by maximizing the variance of loadings of variables of a factor. Let me tell you what that means. Here's a factor, an unrotated factor solution. Okay? What it's going to do is it is going to maximize the variance among these four numbers. The way that you maximize variance of a set of numbers is to have some numbers that are big and other numbers that are tiny. Nothing in the middle. So we're going to take this and we're going to spread out the variance here, then we're going to spread out the variance there. And when you do that with Verimax, what you tend to get is group factors. Guess which side trumpeted this one? The group intelligence theorists? Oh, yeah. Well, the next thing out was Quartermax. It simplifies variables by maximizing the variance of loadings of variables across factors. In other words, what it's going to do is it's going to try and push things around so that these two numbers have as much variance as possible, and these have as much variance as possible, and these. And again, what you're looking for is one big number and the other number tiny. Well, since the first factor accounts for the most variance, and this number is already bigger than this one most of the time, by using the Quartermax procedure, what you tend to end up with is a strong first factor and very weak additional factors, looking very much like a one-factor theory of intelligence. They like those. Now, the nice truth is that even though the Verimax tends to produce group factors and Quartermax tends to produce a general factor and then small group factors, neither of these will dramatically pervert the structure of your variables. If you've got a strong group structure, it's going to show up no matter which of these you use. If you've got a strong first factor and weak additional factors, it's going to show up. It's when you don't have a very strong, clear structure that the different rotations sort of get their way. Which is kind of the bad news. Because when you most need a rotation to do something you can't do by yourself is when it's most likely to show its bias. There was an attempt called Equimax to balance these two. There were actually two versions of Equimax. In the first version of Equimax, first you did a Verimax, then on the Verimax solution you did a Quartermax. And you can guess what the other version is. First you did a Quartermax, and on the Quartermax solution you did a Verimax. Problem is, whichever one you do first tends to bias the results. So there really is no way to do two different biases at the same time so they cancel each other out. The reason that Verimax is the most common is because most of the time when people are doing a factor analysis, they're looking for multiple group factors. And so a solution or a rotation that does a good job of giving you multiple group factors has become the default, and it doesn't work badly, except for the fact that it's orthogonal, and a lot of folks aren't really crazy about orthogonal solutions. The two most common terms or types of oblique rotation that you're going to see are Promax and Direct Oblomin. Promax has the advantage of being faster. So if you're factoring a lot of variables, Promax can be a little bit quicker. This advantage sort of died with mainframe computers and when you actually paid for CPU. I mean, that thing sitting on your desk will crunch these out. One will take 2 seconds longer than the other. I mean, you won't notice. Promax literally starts with a Verimax orthogonal solution and then relaxes the orthogonality constraints to better spear the variable clusters, which is pretty much what the picture looks like. We start with a good solid orthogonal solution and then, oops, wrong place. We start with an orthogonal solution, and then we just relax the orthogonality of this so that it spears the clusters, creating a correlation between the two. So this is a pretty common procedure. Lots of people like it. direct albumin is called direct because it doesn't start with an orthogonal solution. It goes directly to an oblique solution. It just spears the clusters mathematically. All oblique rotations have some parameter that sets the maximum correlation allowed between the rotating factors. Changing the parameter can change the resulting rotation and interpretation. It doesn't hurt to try things, but I will tell you that SPSS has done a remarkable job of selecting defaults, and that most of the time, if you push those parameters around very much, all that you do is either artificially orthogonalize or artificially inflate the correlation between the factors. The defaults really do work pretty well. Things that are different or not when you use an oblique rotation. Unlike when you do an orthogonal rotation, there's now going to be a phi matrix that holds the factor intercorrelations. Now that these factors are allowed to be correlated, we have to stop and ask ourselves, how correlated are they, and make that part of the story that we tell about our factor analysis. The eigenvalues and the variances accounted for by the rotated factors will be different than those for the extracted factors. You can compute the eigenvalue for each factor by summing the squared structure loadings. You can compute the variance accounted for. But with non-orthogonal factors, there is non-uniqueness. It's just like an R-squared, a multiple regression. You can't find the R-square by adding up the small R-squares of each predictor. Because they're correlated with each other, the sum of the small r squares is bigger than capital R square. Remember that? Because these things are correlated with each other, you can't add up how much variance is accounted for by each. That's going to be more than the total variance accounted for because this corrects for the collinearity. Same things going on with oblique factors. If you take the variance accounted for by each factor and add it up, it will be more than the total variance accounted for because of that collinearity. No matter whether you use oblique or orthogonal rotations, the commonality of each variable will be the same. The problem is it can't be computed simply. SPSS does it for you, and that's good enough for us. I think they're supposed to.